For our worship today, we are glad to have you join us in our Resurrection Day service on Zoom, wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching. I'm Pastor Joe, and we want to bring a special message today titled Resurrection Life. There are four passages of scripture we'll get to. We'll touch upon each one of them briefly after this introduction. I want to talk to you today about two aspects of the resurrection. First, as background, I want to show you why the resurrection of Christ is important. Is the resurrection of Christ important? What's such a big deal about the resurrection of someone who lived 2,000 years ago that you and I never spoke to, we never looked upon visibly, never heard his audible voice? And secondly, I want to talk to you about how the resurrection is relevant in your individual life and my individual life, because it all boils down to relevancy. There you go. I got it. The Lord Jesus Christ rose again so that you and I can experience something very relevant, very practical, very important that actually helps us in our daily life. And the resurrection of Christ is one of the most important doctrines of the Christian faith. It's so important that without the resurrection, there would be no Christianity, there would be no salvation, there would be no forgiveness of sins. You say, wow, that's a pretty big statement. Well, let me explain to you why the resurrection is important. There's several reasons. First, the resurrection is a witness to the mighty power of God. If you believe in the resurrection of Christ, you must believe that God exists. And if he created the universe and has power over it, then he has power to raise the dead as well. If he doesn't have such power, he's not worthy of our faith and our worship. Only he who created life can resurrect that life after death, whether it be his own death in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether it be our deaths. Only he can reverse the hideousness of death itself, and only he can remove the sting of death and obtain the victory over death and the grave. There is victory over death. Physical death is not the end of life as we know it. Our spirits inside of our bodies were created to live forever. You and I will live forever. Did you know that? That's right. We will. Our spirits live forever. Our bodies die because of sin. The wages of sin is death. And we all suffer physical death because we sin. But our spirits leave our bodies after death, and if we know the Lord, we go to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But for a believer, he or she will receive a new body, a glorified body at the resurrection, which will rejoin the spirit. And so either way, we're going to live forever. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, it says, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the resurrection of Christ has ensured all believers to overcome the final sting of death. It's not a final sting for believers. The resurrection of Christ is a form of victory passed on to all who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And in the end, they are resurrected in their bodies, and which rejoin their spirits, and they obtain victory over eternal punishment and death. Now, in resurrecting Jesus from the dead, God reminds us of his absolute sovereignty and power over death. So, in the first place, the resurrection is a witness to the mighty power of God. Jesus rose from the dead, and he passes on that victory and that resurrection to us who know him and who have put our trust in him. That's why the resurrection is important. Number two, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is important because it validates who Jesus claimed to be. Jesus made some pretty big claims. He claimed to be God. He claimed to be the creator. He claimed to be the only one that could forgive sins. He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. That's right. The only way, the only truth, and the only life. And not only is that something that is politically incorrect to say today, but it's always been politically incorrect for Jesus to say that, because after all, those most people say, what's wrong with the other religions? Don't they all travel to the same destination? Well, no, no. The Bible says that Jesus claimed to be Almighty God, God in the flesh, and the Messiah, not only the Messiah of the Jews, but the Savior of the Gentiles. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, attested to by hundreds of eyewitnesses, provides irrefutable proof that he was resurrected, and he was who he claimed to be. Read the book of 1 Corinthians. We read there that over 500 witnesses saw Jesus after his resurrection. I'll read a short portion of that passage for you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, or Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen also by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. That is, the apostle Paul also saw Jesus. He had a special appearance to Paul on the road to Damascus as he was bringing Christians to put in jail and to murder. The third reason why the resurrection is important is that it proves Jesus' sinless character and his divine nature. It proves that he is God. The scriptures said God's Holy One would never see corruption. In Psalm 16 and verse 10, 1,000 years before Jesus was born, we read a prophecy from the psalmist David, who was a type of Christ. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And Jesus never saw corruption, even after he died. We read in Acts 13, verse 32, and we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus. And it is also written in the second Psalm, Psalm 2, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore, he also says in another Psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. In other words, just in case somebody would say, well, David was referring to himself when he said that your Holy One will not see corruption. Well, it can't refer to David because he died and he stayed in the grave. He saw corruption. He was making a prophecy of 1,000 years in the future, referring to the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, who is God, who cannot see corruption because he is God in the flesh. Number four, the fourth reason why the resurrection of Jesus is important is it validates the Old Testament prophecies that foretold of Jesus' suffering and resurrection. There are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament foretelling of the Messiah, what he will be like, what he will accomplish, what his mission would be, how the Messiah would die, where he will be born, what his name will be, what the Messiah will say at his death. And Jesus is the only one who fulfilled all of those prophecies to the letter. We read in Acts chapter 17, verse 2, then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures. That is the apostle Paul, who was a Jewish rabbi who got converted, the one I just read about. He went into the synagogues and reasoned with the Jews from their own Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Messiah had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. The Jewish expectation of the Messiah in the day and age leading up to the birth of Jesus, including during the lifetime of Jesus, was a Messiah like a military general who would come and who would destroy the enemies of the Jews, all of the Arabs and the Romans and so forth. But the Old Testament scriptures predicted a different Messiah with a different purpose and a different mission. The Messiah's mission would be to suffer and die on the cross, the most painful means of punishment Romans could enact for the sins of his people. Only God himself could fulfill all of those prophecies to the letter, exactly, precisely, of the coming Messiah. And lastly, Christ's resurrection is important because it authenticated his own claims that he would be raised on the third day. Throughout his ministry for 3.5 years, read the Gospels, Jesus claimed over and again that he would be raised from the dead. For example, in Mark chapter 8, verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Again, one chapter later in 9:31 of Mark, for he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. And one more in Mark 10:33 and 34. Jesus said, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. Now, if Jesus wasn't God, and if he wasn't who he claimed to be, the Messiah, the Savior, who alone can save us from sin and damnation, then he would have stayed dead, just like all the founders of all the other religions who lived and left their religion and died and stayed dead, except for Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, we have no hope that we will be resurrected, because all of his teachings again and again emphasize that they who put their trust in him will rise from the dead and defeat death and hell just like Jesus did. In fact, apart from Christ's resurrection, we have no Savior, no salvation, and no hope of eternal life. As Paul said, our faith would be useless, the gospel would be altogether powerless, and our sins would remain unforgiven. You see, the same power of God that raised up Jesus from the dead raises up spiritually all those who trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation. He raises them in their hearts from the dead so that they have a new life. As the Bible says, if anyone is a Christian, he is a new creation, a new person. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so Jesus, if he is not risen from the dead, if he is not right now at the right hand of God, saving souls that pray to him, God be merciful to me, a sinner, then there would be no Christians, because there would be no resurrection power to raise us up in our hearts and change us from the inside out and give us a new nature to love the things we didn't used to love about God, praying, going to church, reading the Bible, talking about Jesus, being perceived by others as knuckleheads, kooks, Jesus freaks. No, it is really the resurrection power of God who has raised us up and given us a new heart, a new mind, a new nature, and a new purpose in life, which is to serve God. This is the original purpose for which we were created, which was to know God, serve him, enjoy his fellowship, his presence, his friendship, and to live for him and to glorify him. That's why we were created. Do you ever wonder why we were here? I bet you've asked yourself that 10,000 times as I have. Because the world doesn't make sense without a saving relationship with God in our hearts. Our hearts are empty. We are just spinning our wheels. We experience constant confusion and frustration. We have no peace. We have no assurance that when we die, we're going to heaven. And that's why the resurrection of Christ from the dead is critical, because with Christ rising from the dead, all of Christ's teachings become true. His power changes lives for all those who put their trust in him in the future and in the past. His grace changes us to be Christians that he taught us to be. It puts teeth and power behind his teachings to actually do in our hearts what he said would be done when we trust him as our Lord and Savior. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 14, we read, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty." Yes, and we are found false witnesses, the Apostle Paul says, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most miserable. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? If our only hope is in this world, and the truth is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and get the most out of life because you can't enjoy it in the next life, then why are we living? Why are we just filters for sleep and for food for approximately 70 years. No, Jesus rose from the dead. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And in that statement, he claimed to be the source of both the resurrection and the eternal life. There is no resurrection apart from Christ. There is no eternal life apart from Christ. Reality has proven that. The Bible has proven that. The changed lives of believers who were former enemies of Christianity have proven that. What about you, my friend? Are you a believer? Have you proven the truth and reality of the gospel, the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ? You see, Jesus does more than just give life. He is life. And that's why death has no power over him, nor no power over me, and no power over you if you're a Christian. Jesus gives his life to those who trust in him to save them so that we can share his triumph over death. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to rob death of the victory over you in the last day? We read in 1 John 5:11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he who does not have the Son of God doesn't have life. Since I really believe in the name of